Shalom Aleichem. I hope everyone is well. We're beginning tonight in Tzachem Linadu with the Hayesod HaRevi. Hayesod HaRevi, the Rambam writes, HaKadmus. Kadmus is the abstract noun formed from the word kodem, before. I don't know, one English word for it is anteriority. It expresses the idea, the reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is before everything. Now, that's not such an elegant English expression, but what it conveys is, as opposed to just saying Nitzchi or eternal, what it conveys is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we say eternal, it's open to the misinterpretation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, a person is mortal, so a person lives for so many years. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is immortal, so he lives an endless number of years. The correct understanding is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists beyond time. We, who are created, exist in time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists on time. And that's what the phrase kodem is, before everything. Before everything, before time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists above and beyond beyond time. V'hu, the Rambam elaborates a little bit for us. Shezeh ha'echad ha'omwe hu ha'kadmon behechlet. He is, again, absolutely before. V'chol nimtza zulaso, everything that exists other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who built the kadmon b'yachas elav. Again, everything else relative to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is again, both logically, and then the Rambam goes on to say, again, once the world is created, even temporally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is before everything. But again, with that emphasis, again, not before in the sense of, let's say, the first one to arrive at a certain place arrives at 7 o'clock and everyone else didn't arrive till 7:05 to 7:10. That's a before, within time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is before everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists the same way he exists outside of space, not in space. HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists outside of time, beyond time. Excuse me. Let's continue now to the Yisod HaChamishi. Yisod HaChamishi shehu yis'ale hu sherotli le'ovdo u'leramimu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one whom it is fitting to worship and to exalt. And Lahodiya Romamusa Vavodaso, and to disseminate to others that he alone, his exaltedness, and that he alone is the only focus of worship, is something for ourselves and something to share with others. The lo lasos came. One should not direct any act of worship l'mishehu lamata mimenu b'metzias, towards any being, anything which is lower than he is in terms of existence. Again, if one employs a just as a metaphor, a spatial analogy, so if one imagines a chain of being with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the top, so everything else by definition is underneath him in terms of existence. Again, obviously that spatial metaphor is just a metaphor for reality, not for spatial location. Kegon hamalachim, angels, v'hakochavim, stars, v'hagalgalim, spheres, v'hayisodos, the basic elements, umasha horkav mehen, and whatever was constituted, whatever is constituted from the basic elements, v'fi shekulam heim mutbo'im bif'ulosehem. All these created beings underneath HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're all programmed. Ein lahem yecholas v'lo b'chira. They have no discretionary abilities. The North Star doesn't decide where in the sky, what position to adopt in the sky, when to be visible, whether to be visible. They have no autonomy, no ability, no freedom of choice. They're programmed. They're programmed as per the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The ein lasos osam emtzaim lahagia elav, and one should not make any of these things into intermediaries between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ella, rather, l'umasto yis'aleh, towards him, capital H, yechuvnu ha-machshavos. All thought of prayer, thought of worship, all thoughts should be directed exclusively towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, u'manichim, and to leave to the side and to forsake anything and everything else. This fifth principle of faith, basically, the Rambam says what I've just presented now is the gist and the essence of the prohibition against idolatry. The rov ha-Torah hi ba'azhara aleha. A remarkable sentence. The majority of the Torah is directed to repel idolatrous belief. Here, let's try to get a handle a little bit on this and to sort of highlight something which is really present in the Perushim Mishnayos that we just read itself, but maybe to help bring it to the surface, to help make it a little bit more explicit. So maybe we'll just read a few lines, the Rambam in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Tshuva, where he's listing those who, Rachmana Litzlan, forfeit their share in Olam Haba. Excuse me. And in that context, that's where in Mishneh Torah, the Rambam basically presents in different format his Yud Gimel Ikar. So we find the following halacha. Chamisha hein hanikra in minim. There are five people who are labeled as heretics. Ha'omer she'ein sham eloka ve'ein la'olam manhig. A person who's an atheist, Rachmana Litzlan. Ha'omer she'yesh sham manhig aval him shnayim o'yaseh. A person who's a polytheist believes in more than one Ribbono Shel Olam, Rachmana Litzlan. A person who's a corporealist, he thinks that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is physical, right? So these five that the Rambam is listing of people who are labeled as heretics, it corresponds to the first five of the Yud Gimel Ikarim. That each of these five that the Rambam is listing here are individuals who violate, again, in order, in sequence, the first five, respectively, the first five of the Yud Gimel Ikarim. So we have the first three so far, right? An atheist, Rachmana Litzlan, a polytheist, a corporealist. V'cheino omer she'eino levado rishon v'tzua l'akol, someone who denies HaKadosh Baruch Hu being exclusively Kadmon, that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is before everything. V'chein ha'oved Eloha zuloso kedelios melitz beino uvein ribon ha'olamim. And so too, someone who worships anything, thereby making it an intermediary between himself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so we read now just to reread and let's notice a difference between how the Rambam describes the fifth instance of heresy from the first four. The first four is ha'omer, someone who says in the sense of belief, someone who says, who harbors an atheistic belief. V'ha omer, someone who harbors polytheistic belief. V'ha omer, that Hashem is a Baal Guf, someone who harbors, who maintains a corporeal belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is physical. V'chein ha omer, right? Each of the first four is omer, omer, omer. The heresy is in the belief. A person is an atheist, Rachmana Litzlan, is a heretic by virtue of his belief. A polytheist is a heretic by virtue of his belief, and so forth. But now listen to how the Rambam summarizes our Yesod. The Yesod HaChamishi is not ha'omer, but v'chein ha'oved Eloha Zulaso. In other words, the Rambam's opinion, which he elaborates at length earlier in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, is even if an individual believes in Hashem Echad, believes in one God, the person does not believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu delegated any powers or any discretionary powers, be it to angels, be it to the sun, the moon, or anything. He believes in Hashem Echad, who's in charge of everything. But nevertheless, he engages in acts of worship vis-a-vis things that are created, meaning something, someone other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that constitutes Avodah Zarah. That doesn't have to be a polytheistic belief for it to be considered Avodah Zarah. The very fact that a person directs an act of worship to the sun, to the moon, to an angel, etc., that constitutes Avodah Zarah, even if the person doesn't attribute to the, again, to that angelic being, that heavenly body, even if a person doesn't attribute any powers, and not even any discretionary powers, but engages in an act of worship vis-a-vis that being, that body, that's Avodah Zarah. And that's what's reflected here when the Rambam says the first four, the heresy is ha'omer, 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 the heretical beliefs. Avodah Zarah is a heretical action. A person can, Rachmana Litzlan, violate the basic belief structure of Yahadus, either by subscribing to contrary beliefs. Part of the basic belief structure of Torah, of Yahadus, is Hashem Echad. a person maintains a belief that contradicts that, he doesn't believe in Hashem. He thinks that Heinushnaim or Yeser Shnaim, that there's more than one God. So then that violates the belief structure and framework of the Torah, again, on the level, on the cognitive level, on the level of belief. But the Rambam says a person, and this is crucial, the Rambam says that a person can violate that belief structure by virtue of action. There are heretical beliefs, and then there are heretical actions. And Avodah Zarah is a heretical action. And that's why if we reread for a moment here, this Yisod HaChamishi. So HaYisod HaChamishi, Shehu Shero'i La'ovdo, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is it appropriate to worship? Ula Romamo, and to exalt, again, in the sense that one exalts a divine being. V'lo lasos kein. Right? The Rambam's not telling us, the Yisod HaChamishi is not about what to believe or not to believe. It's about what to do and what not to do. There are correct beliefs, and there are, Rachmana Litzlan, heretical beliefs. There are correct actions, and there are, Rachmana Litzlan, heretical actions. And Avodah Zarah is a heretical action. By virtue of the action, it's something which contradicts the basic belief structure just by virtue of the action that a person goes and prostrates himself, engages in this act of worship vis-a-vis some dova hanivra, something created, despite the fact that he attributes all powers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the very fact that the person directs an act of worship to something other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the act of worship may be prostration, the act of worship may be tefillah, maybe addressing tefillah for the Rambam, which is an act of worship. Okay. This, of course, gives rise to the question and the discussion. We have within our liturgy certain passages which do address malachim. So in the Slichos, we have the stanza. It's the opening stanza of one of the Slichos. The Slichos season is not that far removed already at this point, now that we're post Tisha B'Av. Of Malachi Rachamim, Mishar Se Elyon, Chaluna Fnei Kel B'Mei Tavigayon. So we're addressing ourselves to the Malachim. Malachi, those who say it, not everyone says. Malachi Rachamim, Mishar Se Elyon, angels of mercy, who serve the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chaluna, petition, Pnei Elyon. At the conclusion of Slichos, so many have the custom to say the Machnise Rachamim, Hachnisu Rachamenu, the Fnei Bala Rachamim, and several similar stanzas. You, the Malachim, who bring the petitions before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so bring our petitions before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is it an act of heresy, according to the Rambam, to say these tefillos? So, at first glance, one would be inclined to answer yes. I don't think that's the correct answer. I think the Rambam definitely would not say these tefillos. The Rambam definitely would object to these tefillos, but it doesn't constitute heresy. And let's try to understand why. It's Chumash attests to the fact that we can ask someone to daven on our behalf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Avimelech that he should ask Avraham Avinu to daven on his and Avimelech's behalf. Hoshev is Aisha Sa'ish Kinavihu. Avimelech, who had forcefully taken Sarah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, return her. And then, you know what? Avraham Avinu, Yispalo Bad Chavechye. Avraham Avinu will daven on your behalf and you'll live. Moshe Rabbeinu davens for Miriam, Kel Noah, Rufan Allah. So there is such a thing as one person davening for another. And again, one can even request that. And that we take for granted. So what's the difference between that and addressing ourselves to Malachim? So the emphasis is that the Maharal Prague deals with this question in his Sefer Nesivos Olam in the Siva Avoda. And he deals with it in the context of commenting on one of those tefillas that we mentioned that is part of the, again, for some, not for all, of the Slichos liturgy of Machnisei Rachamim. So the Maharal, just read you a few lines, he writes as follows, Aval she yispalel veloma lemalochim, that a person should daven and address himself to the angels and say, Al tiyu tzorim li, don't be adversaries, don't be against me. No, a person should be davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he has no adversaries. A person doesn't daven to the Malach. The Maharal says, but when you open the Slichos booklet, so the Maharal says, but the emes is, Ein zeh ro'oi. One really shouldn't say Machnisei Rachamim. And then he explains why that is. He explains that it is appropriate to go out to the cemetery and to, as it were, make those who have already departed this world aware of its sorrow, of a time of difficulty, of difficult straits that we're in, that the Mesim should daven our behalf, but not Malachim. He says, Ki ha-Mesim gam kein Yisrael, v'heim o'avim Yisrael, u'mevakshim rachamim al Yisrael, aval lo malachim hachnisu rachameinu, zeh ein ro'ui. So what's the difference? So the Maharal is explaining it as follows. Very, very beautiful and very fundamental thought. Maharal is saying, when we ask a fellow Jew to daven on our behalf, that doesn't insinuate that we're elevating that individual to being an intermediary between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rather, we recognize that every tefillah is a zchus. Every tefillah helps and potentially and makes a difference and potentially could make the difference between our tefillahs being worthy of being answered, not being answered. So the same way, not really the same way, but mashal ma'adov adoma. If I go to my neighbor and say, can I please borrow a cup of sugar? So I'm not making the neighbor into an intermediary between myself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm asking the neighbor to do me a favor. I ran out of sugar. I'm in the middle of baking a cake. Can you please lend me a cup of sugar? When I ask a fellow Jew to daven on my behalf, it's the same thing. I'm asking him to share in my difficulty, to share in my tzara, and in that vein, he too will daven. But Malachim, says the Maharal, have no empathy with us. There's no empathetic, no fraternal connection between Malachim and us. To turn to a Malach is something that insinuates Masha and Cain, when we turn to a fellow Jew, which is why the Maharal says it's entirely appropriate to ask a fellow Jew to join in our tefillah, to daven on our behalf. Give a bracha. A bracha means a tefillah. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives brachas. Give a bracha means be mispalel on my behalf, please. So that's appropriate because that's, again, enlisting the empathetic involvement, inviting and enlisting the empathetic involvement of a fellow Jew. But a Malach, there is no empathetic involvement. If I address myself to the Malach, that already insinuates something that I'm placing him as an intermediary between myself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rachman Litzlan. Now let's take this a step further. What would be if a person davens to a malach, but the source of his doing that is that this distinction between a fellow Jew and the malach is something which isn't clear to him? No, in his mind. The same way it's appropriate to ask a fellow Jew to join empathetically and hence daven and join the tefillah, the person doesn't see the difference between that and asking the malach, imploring the malach on our behalf. So the person would be guilty of a mistake, but he wouldn't be, he'd be guilty of a mistake. And according to the Rambam, it would be nonsense because a malach is not a baal bechira. A malach has no free will. A malach can't respond. It makes no more sense to ask the malach to daven on our behalf than it does to ask a stone to daven on our behalf in that sense, even though the stone is something inanimate and the malach is an intelligence, but neither of them have any bechira. So it's nonsensical and it's a mistake and the Rambam would never do it, but if in addressing oneself to the malach, one's mindset is not that the malach is an intermediary, And that the malach is my access to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But rather, the person addresses himself to the malach the same way he goes running to a tzaddik to ask the tzaddik to daven on his behalf. So if a person does it in that mindset, the Rambam would tell us it's wrong. The Rambam would say, don't do it. But someone who did it, the Rambam would not label a heretic. The Rambam would only label the person a heretic if his mindset and his approach in davening to the Malach is that I need to speak to the Malach because I need some intermediary between myself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if The person mistakenly, according to the Rambam, it would be obviously it's unequivocally a mistake, unequivocally wrong in the Rambam's opinion. But if a person would mistakenly think that the same way I enlist the empathetic help and involvement of other people to daven, of my community and my friends and my family, that I can enlist their help. So in the same vein, I'm enlisting the Malach. So according to the Rambam, it makes no sense and it's absolutely wrong. But Lamaisa, if that's what the person's intent is, it's wrong, but it wouldn't be heretical. So I think the correct answer is that those who do say that these tefillas of Malachi Rachamim or Machnisei Rachamim, Hachnisu Rachameinu, they're not said with the sense, they certainly should not be said, with the sense of making the Malach into an intermediary, but they're said in the same sense as enlisting the help of a fellow Jew. At that point, so then the level of disagreement the Rambam would have wouldn't be a disagreement about Ikari Emuna. The disagreement would be very real, very much real, and very clear, but it wouldn't be a disagreement about Ikari Emuna. That's why you find something which otherwise would really be very, very mystifying. There's a tshuva in the Chassam Sofer where he talks about this passage in the Maharal that we were just referencing, where the Chassam Sofer says that basically, Machnisei Rachamim, he says, the way I avoid saying that is I say a long, elaborate tachnun. Right? Machnisei Rachamim comes after the Rachum V'chanun, comes after the Nefilas HaPayim, after the tachnun. So the Chassam Sofer says, I'm able to navigate that. He says, I say a longer tachnun, he says. So Memela, I fall behind the Tzibur. So then I have to skip to catch up. So I'm able to skip the Machnisei Rachamim. He says, because basically I follow what the Maharal says. He says, Mashen Kain, when it comes to something like Malachi Rachamim, he says, I'm not Parish Menatzibur. I don't want to separate myself from the community. That's a very, very important value and very, very important principle. But if the tzibur erroneously is doing something or saying something that's heretical, then a person obviously would be parish min tzibur. So how can the Chassam Sofer be opposed but sort of be so understated in his opposition? So the answer is because exactly what we're talking about. Because if you recognize that the tzibur in saying it isn't, they're not elevating the malachim into intermediaries. They're only, again, enlisting the malach to be on their side, to be on their team, no differently fundamentally in their minds than they would enlist a fellow Jew. So then the Rambam's objection is it's wrong, it doesn't make any sense because Malachim are programmed that they can't respond, they're not Baalei Bechira, they don't have free will. It would be wrong, but it wouldn't be heretical in the Rambam's opinion. And Mimela, that's why the Chassam Sofer's objection is moderated the way it is. Maybe while we're talking about this general inyan, there is a minig, a very, very ancient minig. It goes back at least as far as Kali Ben Yefuna to daven, to go to Kivrei Avos and to daven. Vayalu vanege vayova ar chevem. So Chazal tell us that Kalev ben Yefunne went to Moaz HaMachpelah to daven by the kiveh avos of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. So what exactly is a person's intention supposed to be when going to a cemetery to daven? So there are two correct intentions, either or both of two are correct. The one thing we're not doing is we're not davening to the mason. The mason, again, we're not, Rachman Atzlan, making them into, there are other belief systems, Lahavdil, 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 Aleph, Alpha, Avdolos. There are other belief systems that make people, after they die, into, they promote them and they elevate them and somehow or other become in intermediaries, but God forbid, that's not a Jewish belief. We're not davening to the mason. We're not davening to those who have already died. We're doing either or both of two things. One is to, by going to the kever of the avos, it's a way of invoking before HaKadosh Baruch Hu their merit. By going to the kever avos, so then when we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that place, it's a way of invoking that zchus avos, that merit, that ancestral merit that we have. Just to share a very interesting story in this context, a story I heard from my teacher, Rav Geshen Zaks, Zichron Levracha. The Chofetz Chaim, who lived to be a very old man, so La'ezik Nuso, his tradition for Moror was the horseradish root. He didn't have the other traditions. So that's what he used to fulfill the mitzvah of Moror at the Seder. When he was already very, very old, so the doctors told him that it was too dangerous for him to eat it, and they forbade him from eating the mora. Chofetz Chaim couldn't go against the doctors, wasn't going to go against the doctors. On the other hand, he was very upset that he wouldn't be able to fulfill the mitzvah of mora. So the Chofetz Chaim sent shlichim, he sent messengers on his behalf to go to the grave of the Vilna Gaon and to daven at the grave of the Vilna Gaon, that in the merit that he, the Chofetz Chaim, earlier in his life, had published an edition of the Toras Kohanim, of the Midrash Halacha on Sefer Vayikra, with the emendations of the Vilna Gaon. In the merit of the fact that he had published the Torah, disseminated the Torah of the Vilna Gaon, so in that merit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send him a refuah shlema, he should be able to eat more. So that's agav. Chofetz Chaim had some chips to cash in here. So what did he want to cash them in for? I don't know. So I would have thought, you know, a free cruise, a trip around the world. The Chofetz Chaim, why did he want to cash his chips in? He should eat more. So that's one mindset to have. When a person davens in a cemetery, a person is not davening to the graves, God forbid, is not davening to the mason, but a person is invoking their zechus. His presence there invokes their zechus as he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A second absolutely legitimate intention in davening in the cemetery, again, is not to daven to the mason, but by davening in the cemetery, here already we get into certain, I don't know, metaphysical realities that we can't really relate to, but by davening in the cemetery, so the mason, those who are no longer in this world, become aware of our predicament. They become aware of our problems. And that, in turn, elicits from them that they will daven on our behalf. So once again, we're not davening to them. We're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their presence, in the presence of their burial spot. What's the point here again on this second possible mindset? Is because by doing so, again, in the presence of their burial spot, so there remains some type of metaphysical between the departed soul's body was buried. Tzara in their presence, quote unquote, as it were, so they become aware of our difficulties, of our suffering, of our predicament, and that arouses them to daven on our behalf and to join in our tefillas. So those are either of the two intentions, legitimate, appropriate intentions that a person could have in davening in a cemetery. Okay, so we'll stop here for tonight. I think the schedule is such that we have one more meeting in Yitzhak Hashem next week, Lina. I think that's correct. I guess double check in the interim. If so, so then we'll begin in Yitzhak Hashem Neder with the Yisod Hashishi about prophecy. Okay, thank you very much, everyone. Have a good night. Be well. Be safe.